ॐ कटाक्ष किरणाचान्त नमन्मोहाब्धये नमः अनन्तानन्द कृष्णाय जगन्मङ्गलमूर्तये परोक्षता परिच्छेद शाबल्यापोहनिर्मलम् Tadasi Tikiralaksham.
I got myself a typo there. Do you have Tadasi or Tadasi?
Tadasi.
Tada?
Tada.
Tadasi Tikiralaksham. Sorry. Parokshata Paricheda Shabalyapo Hanirmalam Tadasi Tigiralaksham Aham Ekarasam Maha.
Well, I don't know why it's Tada. It should be Tadasi. I can't believe that.
Maybe I'm just reading it wrong.
You know what? I think Tara was right. We didn't really unfold that verse.
Yeah, you just don't think I can do this verse.
Here. I know. You say, hey, man, trying for a while.
Yeah. Oh, she's not going to be able to do this verse justice because she hasn't looked at this verse. She can't do it.
She's trying to save me.
Yeah.
You guys think I have other motives?
I think your motive is to take
Tadasi. It's got to be Tadasi.
Ah.
If I gave you, are you getting Tadasi from my handout?
Yes.
That's because there's a typo in this.
Tadasi.
You are that.
Tadasi.
Yeah, Tadasi.
T instead of a D?
No, it's a short ah. It's a short ah. See where it says tada?
Uh-huh.
That should be a short ah.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you when we break the sentence.
This ah right here is going to drop.
That line. Get the.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, get the line over there. That's going away.
Oh, I'm
line
okay.
I'm
with
you. Long A.
It shouldn't be.
Short A.
It shouldn't be that.
Yeah, I'm going to restore.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Parokshata. Let's break the sandhi.
Wow.
Parokshata aparicheda shabolya apoha nirmalam tad asi iti. All short. Tad asi iti kira laksham aham ekarasam maha. Okay. Go to the fourth line. You see where it says aham I am. That there is no verb in this. Right? Except asi, but that's in quotes. So the verb is going to be just asmi, aham asmi. Okay? Understood, asmi, understood. So if you look at that last line, do you see the aham there?
Yeah.
Aham ekarasam, one essence. Eka is one, rasa is essence. So I am ekarasam, mahaha. Mahaha means infinite. It means great, it means infinite. It also means, it can mean light, so it could be the consciousness, but mahat usually, like mahahora mahat, means great, means sense of infinite. I am one infinite being, one infinite essence, aham ekarasam mahaha. One, I am ekarasam, who is infinite, who is great.
Mahaha is nominative.
Yeah.
And ekarasam is also
nominative.
It's adjective.
Yeah. Because Tadasi, we're talking, I am Brahman, right? I am that. Yeah. Do you see it? This is all neuter. Brahman is neuter, is a neuter noun. Atma is a masculine noun. And so, if this was all in the masculine, nominative, then we would be talking about Atma. But instead, we're talking about the Atma, which is Brahman, right? Uh-huh. So this happens to be in the neuter. So.
Is there any distinction there, Atman Brahman?
No, only as a teaching to recognize that your innermost being is the Atma. That's the name for you. Yourself is the Atma.
That brings it close.
Yeah. And then the Mahavakya is that Atma is Brahman. Brahman means that self is infinite. Brahman, the word Brahman comes from the Dhatu, Brih, means to increase. So that which is the biggest of the big, Swamiji will say. If you go like this, there's a big difference between a big mosquito and a big mountain, right, in terms of size. But if you just say big, where big, the bigness itself is the substantive, then there's no limit. That's limitless.
You know, Atma in Hindi is masculine, and it's very rare that they disagree in gender between Hindi and Sanskrit.
Well, they don't here, because Atma is masculine also.
Oh, no, I meant it's feminine, sorry.
Atma is feminine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. It's only masculine in the Sanskrit. Okay, so I am that infinite ekarasam, one essence. Laksham means that which is pointed to, indicated, gira. By the word, gira just means by the word. Here it means from gira. It's in the instrumental singular. It means by the shruti. Right? Literally by the words, but by the word means by the shruti, by the statement. You can say gira, by the statement. And we will add shruti statement because he's referring to a shruti statement, right? Tad asi, iti. By the gira, by the statement, iti puts it in quotes. Tad asi, you are that. Tad stands in tad tvamasi, right? You are Brahman. So by the words, you are that, is pointing to the fact that I am aham ekarasam mahaha, which is revealed to me, laksham, by the statement, by the shruti statement, you can put in quotes, by the shruti statement, you are that. The you are that is a Mahavakya. You know, there's not just one Mahavakya. There are several different Mahavakyas that run throughout the Upanishads. Like one would be Aham Brahmasmi. That's a each one is like Aham Brahmasmi indicates a particular Veda. I don't remember which Veda for each one, but one is Aham Brahmasmi, Tat Tvamasi, Prajnanam Brahma. Brahman is consciousness. Prajnanam Brahma. Brahman. And there's a few others. I can't remember right now. But there's, and those are only four, each one indicating a Veda. Then there's still others. Those aren't the only four Mahavakyas. There are other sections throughout the Upanishads that are Mahavakyas. A Mahavakya means it brings together the identity of the Jiva with Ishvara to the recognition that you are the whole. Even if you say Aham Brahmasmi, if you were to just to say that myself, my Atma, is Brahman, means infinite consciousness. That's a total Mahavakya, because once you say a consciousness, which is ekarasam, only one essence, and that one essence is infinite, the instant you say infinite, there's not room for anything else. Otherwise, it's not infinite. Right? So if you say these two things together, it is ekarasam, means it's non-divisible, it's only one essence, and that one essence is infinite, then there's no room for anything else. So everything else is relegated to Maya then.
Could we use the word limitless instead of infinite here?
Yeah, limitless. Yeah, yes you can.
So this is a teaching methodology, this separation of Atma and Brahman. It's
taking you, always in the teaching of Vedanta, in any teaching really, it takes you from the point of ignorance to knowledge. To take a person from the point of ignorance to knowledge, you have to start at that point of ignorance, right?
Yeah.
You can't just go to the end game. You have to start from where what the person sees right now. So the unfoldment is going to go like this. The first thing that has to happen for you is to recognize that you have an innermost self which is free and independent of the experiences that are coming and going. Because you're starting from that place of myself as a jiva, the body, mind, sense organs, person. That's where I start. I am a person in this world. You know, so this is the Jagat, this is the Jiva, and then there's the Lord, who is all considered Paroksha.
Yeah.
The Lord is considered away. I don't know Bhagawan, but I know Bhagawan is there, I've Shraddha. But I don't see Bhagawan. I see this world, which is objectified. The Jagat is the objectified world of experience. I see myself as the subject. This body, mind, sense organs is the subject. This is the object, which is Pratyaksha, right? I see all of this immediately. And then there's there's Bhagawan, whom I don't see, but I have Shraddha, I have faith in. That's where I start. So what has to happen is that I have to first recognize that myself, the conscious being, can be differentiated from everything that I had identified with. When I make that differentiation, then myself becomes freed of those things that have been objectified. So that self that I'm now discovering through the viveka, the analysis between the body, the mind, the recognition of the stable self, we call that self the Atma, or the Pratyagatma. That's very common, Pratyagatma, innermost self. So now it took some teaching to get there, right? Because we're not starting there. Then we have to go through other teaching methodologies to recognize that that self, which has now been freed from any identification with the objective world, actually now has no limitations. And so the self that is myself is the self that is yourself. The whole teaching for that.
And we're all experiencing that right now.
Yes. If the self that is myself is the self that is yourself, then that self is the self of all beings. Right? Because infinite extension, if myself is yourself, then it's yourself, then it's yourself. Then there's no place that self is not. So then there's a series of teachings to where you recognize that this Atma, in fact, is limitless. And therefore is the self of Ishvara. So now I'm making some big jumps here. Each one of these involves a lot of teaching to make that understood. So here we say, Aham Ekarasam Mahaha, which is Laksham, which is revealed. And through the teaching, Laksham means that the Laksha is the thing which is to be recognized through the teaching methodology. That which is indicated by, to be revealed by, the statement Tattvamasi, Tad Asi, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, Ajnana, Prajnanam Brahma, you know, Ayam Atma Brahman, that's the fourth one, Ayam Atma Brahman, this Atma is Brahman. These are all Mahavakyas. The whole Upanishad, the whole Vedanta teaching resolves in the Mahavakya. That's what it is. That is the teaching. Everything else is supportive of that Mahavakya. Because through the Mahavakya, you recognize I am the whole. That's the Vedanta. It's not that I'm pure consciousness and forget the world. It's that I am all that is. There is nothing other than me. I am Ekarasam.
What if you have a little disbelief about I am in all?
Well, that's because... it's because... It's because in that area there's a lack of clarity. So it just requires more teaching. Because if there's disbelief, it's not really a matter of belief. It's a matter of seeing. And so that means in that area there's some vagueness.
Or can you see that for sure and then maybe just have a doubt? Whether it's...
If you see it for sure and you have a doubt...
Yeah.
That doubt has to be resolved.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Because more accurate is that I know that this is true, but I don't quite understand. You know, so that area where there's some lack of clarity, that's where the doubt is.
Or I don't see it always that way. That's the doubt.
Well, how about this?
Yeah.
You don't see it always that way when in any given circumstance where there's a lack of vairagya, whenever there's a lack of vairagya, the jiva raises its head.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the little boy. but I want this.
Yeah.
You know? And for during that period of time, you're kind of lost in the dream.
Yeah.
You know, you become identified with the jiva in the dream instead of seeing all of it as Ishwara. And the only reason that happens, it's as though a cloud goes over your knowledge in the sense that you want this now to be happy. So let me go ahead and finish this.
Okay.
So now notice this top two lines is one compound.
Mm-hmm.
What it says is parokshata, the state of being away. But like Bhagavan is parokshata. Yeah, that's in the abstract. The being away from me, being separate, being away is parokshata. Paricheda.
Aparicheda?
Aparicheda means limitless.
I thought when you broke,
No, this is a compound. So parokshata is the first word. Paricheda, paricheda means limitation. Shabhalya. Shabhalya can mean just that, like the conditions of remoteness, parokshata, and limitation and limitations. The conditions of being remote and of limitation, apoha, the negation of that, being free of that. Nirmala means, we're going to read this whole back part. Nirmala means without any dirt, means pure. So nirmala, that which is completely pure, purity, being pure, which is free from nirmala, which is apoha, free from shabalya, without shabalya, the conditions of remoteness and limitation.
What is apoha?
Being away, free from. Being without apoha. So I am free. I am nirmala, pure. Means free of any duality. Sometimes nirmala we say free from duality. They're free from subject object. But literally it means nirmala, without impurity. Right? So pure, nirmala, which is free from any time of parokshata, like Bhagavan being away, anything being away, which would be the satya mitya, really nothing is away from me, nor does anything limit me. Nothing's away from me. Nothing limits me, because I am ekarasam. I'm one without a. I'm of only one essence, which is maha, which is infinite, and that I've understood through the teaching of the Upanishad, of the Shruti, Tatvamasi, Tadasi. You are that. Okay, because that's been revealed. That knowledge has been revealed to me. I've seen that through the teaching methodology. Myself is limitless. So I know when you say I am limitless, I am free. That's a paroksha. But if I say I am free, that is not indirect knowledge. If I said, the Upanishad says that I am free, that's indirect knowledge. If I tell you, no, I am free, I have recognized my being as free. There's nothing distant from me. If I say there's no parokshata, there's nothing distant from me, means I'm the self of all beings. Right? And all of these beings, this is only maya, it doesn't limit me in any way. You know, all of those conditions of otherness and of limitation are totally free from. That's the nirmala. It's not that they're not there to be experienced, but they don't bind me in any way. How do I know that? That I am this limitless, non-dual being? This is something which is laksham, revealed by the Shruti in the form of you are that. Okay. Wow. Let's stop there. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.